Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. And we got a treat in store for you. Welcome to Sulua, the show where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. Today's treat is a celebration. We're celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and we're going to be dealing with things in three segments. The first segment is faith as a catalyst for change. The second segment is a drum major for justice. And the third segment is the dream that shook the world. We will be playing some excerpts from some of Dr. King's speeches. You will hear music, music that might hearken you back to 64, 74, 84. We're not hearing it so much now, but perhaps this is the perfect time to begin retraveling that road from shame, blame, mistreatment of people because of their color, their race, or their gender, to now a new time where people need to speak up and be encouraged to speak up and not let mean speech or negative people win. A tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Faith, Justice, and Dreams. January 15th would have been Dr. King's 96th birthday. From childhood, Martin Luther King Jr. began his understanding and began to hear his father talk so much about how he considered racism and segregation to be an affront to God. He taught his children to not have any superior sense of class because they were pastor's children. Initially, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was not interested in going into ministry as his college pursuit, a life pursuit, but his junior year at Morehouse, he took a Bible class, and that renewed his faith. And by his senior year, he told his father of his decision to enter ministry instead of law. And he was ordained at Ebenezer Baptist Church in February 1948. I was 2 years old. He obtained a sociology degree at Morehouse at the Crozier Theological Seminary, where he exceeded in his studies. He was elected the student body president and earned a fellowship for graduate study. His attention and his sincere interactions with students and campus programs got the attention of Morehouse president Benjamin E. Mays. He influenced Dr. King's spiritual development and to see Christianity as a potential force for social change. We're going to be hearing excerpts from speeches and songs that showed how much that connection of faith and spirituality to a dedication to ending racism, ending poverty, ending a number of the things that Dr. King worked with and organized people to do. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was very active in his role as a pastor and in his belief in faith as a foundation for activism. When the Montgomery bus boycott called on him, he was there organizing, working with the different groups that had come, student groups, social groups, political groups, student groups, all coming and being inspired to see that justice is divine. They all combined where Dr. King emphasized the divine justice and the moral arc of justice of the universe, how it bends towards justice. He said that so eloquently, it would be good to have children in our ages, in a group, ages of people repeating that now. We're going to hear an excerpt from Our God is Marching On, and we're going to hear a musical selection, We Shall Overcome, the traditional civil rights anthem that evoked spiritual resolve and energy at that time for people to go out and brave dogs, police, etc., to push forward to overcoming all of the barriers that were in place at that time.
My dear and abiding friend, Ralph Abernathy.
All right, sir.
To all of the distinguished Americans seated here on the rostrum, my friends and co-workers of the state of Alabama, and to all of the freedom-loving people who have assembled here this afternoon from all over our nation and from all over the world. Last Sunday, more than 8,000 of us started on a mighty walk from Selma, Alabama. We have walked through desolate valleys and across trying hills. We have walked on meandering highways and rested our bodies on rocky byways. Some of our faces are burned from the outpourings of the sweltering sun. Some have literally slept in the mud. We have been drenched by the rain. Our bodies are tired. And our feet are somewhat sore. But today, as I stand before you and think back over that great march, I can say, as Sister Pollock said, a 70-year-old Negro woman who lived in this community during the bus boycott, and one day she was asked while walking if she didn't want to ride, and when she answered no, the person said, "Well, aren't you tired?" With her ungrammatical profundity, she said, "My feet is tired, but my soul is rested."
That's right.
And in a real sense, this afternoon, we can say that our feet are tired.
Yes, sir.
But our souls are rested. They told us we wouldn't get here. There were those who said that we would get here only over that dead body.
Well, talk.
But all the world today knows that we are here and we are standing before the forces of power in the state of Alabama saying we ain't gonna let nobody turn us around.
As we look back over that time when people from the north, the south, people from across the waters were coming together and singing We Shall Overcome, it's kind of hard now hearing so much mean speech, but I think if we, as we play and we listen to that song, it will be fired up again to overcome the negativity, to overcome the inequality in housing, health, and other programs. And maybe it might be the time to, again, at your church, synagogue, school, on the playground, to sing We Shall Overcome. It's also important to see with faith. The civil rights movement had people of many faiths working, but holding arms together, standing and giving comfort to one another. And so I think, again, that this is an opportunity for us to practice that now when there is so much climate, political, and other things pulling us apart. We shall overcome if we stand together and if we keep Dr. King's teachings in our heart. Okay, moving on to our second segment, A Drum Major for Justice. It's a reflection on Dr. King's legacy and call to action. We're transitioning from the previous segment by briefly summarizing Dr. King's vision and his belief in service as the ultimate measure of greatness. The context of the Drum Major Instinct speech was delivered just 2 months before his assassination as a profound message of humility and purpose. It's a reminder to us to stay humble and to look more at what we can do to lift than what we can receive to carry and be given. We're going to hear about 5 minutes from the Drum Major for Justice speech, and just pay attention to how he discusses wanting to be remembered, not for accolades, but for serving others. The music we're going to have is Precious Lord, Take My Hand, sung by many people, but one was Mahalia Jackson. She was such a fundamental part of many of the meetings that were held across the country by the Southern Christian Leadership Group, other groups who invited Dr. King to speak. And this was Precious Lord, Take My Hand, was one of her, his favorite and her favorite songs. So let's take a listen.
But let me rush on to my conclusion, because I want you to see what Jesus was really saying. What was the answer that Jesus gave these men? It's very interesting. One would have thought that Jesus would have condemned them. One would have thought that Jesus would have said, "You're out of your place. You're selfish. Why would you raise such a question?" But that isn't what Jesus did. He did something altogether different. He said in substance, "Oh, I see. You want to be first. You want to be great. You want to be important. You want to be significant. Well, you ought to be. If you're going to be my disciple, you must be." He reordered priorities. And he said, "Yes, don't give up this instinct. It's a good instinct if you use it right. Yes. It's a good instinct if you don't distort it and pervert it. Don't give it up. Keep feeling the need for being important. Keep feeling the need for being first. But I want you to be first in love. I want you to be first in moral excellence. I want you to be first in generosity. That is what I want you to do." And he transformed the situation by giving a new definition of greatness. And you know how he said it? He said, "Now, brethren, I can't give you greatness. And really, I can't make you first." This is what Jesus said to James and John. You must earn it. True greatness comes not by favoritism, but by fitness. And the right hand and the left are not mine to give. They belong to those who are prepared. And so Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. And every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were imprisoned. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness, and all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind, but I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side, not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition, but I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth.
Precious Lord, let me stand
take my hand.
That speech and the song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, you might want to just think about Dr. King's challenge for everyone to embrace their role as a drum major for justice. Yeah, if you don't know what a drum major is, there's a basketball season coming up where the historically black colleges compete. There's football and there's also basketball, and you have drum majors making amazing moves on the ground. And so now we want to make bold moves like that, both as drum major leaders and as people in the band who are standing up for celebrating and generating a shift in our movement, a shift to a change coming. So now we will just go to not just remember Dr. King's words on his birthday, but to live them every day, becoming drum majors for justice in our own right. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at The Place to Be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today we have a special program in Siluau, and it is a program paying tribute to the history, the actions, and memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the black community? Join us where we connect you with black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.
Welcome back to a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Faith, Justice, and Dreams, a special program here today at Siluau, the Speak Up Show, where my guest and I, even though some may be recorded guests, guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. Dr. Martin Luther King, we have three segments. The first one was Faith as a Catalyst for Change. The second segment was being a drum major for justice, something that I'm advocating that each of us get our marching shoes on again, get our voices up again, join hands, link hands intergenerationally, internationally, and see what we can do to bring about a change, an era of progress. The civil rights movement went from 1946 to 1964. We need to bring it back. Some people, other movements have used some segments of what happened within or techniques that were used. But one of the big things that's not a part of many movements is using faith as a catalyst for change. Okay, now we're moving on to segment three. It's coming up, and that is The Dream That Shook the World. Now, I know many of you have heard about the dream speech, and often they pay 2 or 3 minutes somewhere, but we don't get the whole completeness. So our key theme in section three is the global and intergenerational impact of the I Have a Dream speech. We take your memory back. Some of you weren't born yet. We bring it to your things that you might be able to pull up on different stations to take a look at the historic 1963 March on Washington and how Dr. King's vision transcended racial, generational, and national boundaries. The anti-demonstration, the civil rights, the support for municipal workers, garbage workers, so many things came about and got more attention with the I Have a Dream speech. So we're going to hear a segment of that, and then we'll have a music selection, Lift Every Voice and Sing, that's often referred to as the Black National Anthem, to celebrate the aspirations embodied in Dr. King's dream. But that song goes back to 18... 18-